attention, please.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast. Tune into The Drive 3 until 6 p.m. weekdays on the Sports Hub.
I love it. It's brilliant.
Wrong again, voice lady. Josh is nowhere to be found. He's on holiday, we'll say. I don't know where he is. I know he was in Charlotte earlier today. Anyways, he's not hosting The Drive, which is usually his program. Not today, anyway. Not tomorrow, either. Desmond Johnson, who's on the other side of the glass, is hosting tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Des?
Indeed.
Well, I'm Darren Vaught, so I am the one hosting today. And it's a pleasure to do so. It's an extended session of Sharon with Darren. You guys might hear me occasionally in here with Josh just yucking it up. When I come in for, what is it, like an hour, usually on Thursdays, sometimes we've got to switch that up. When I come in for that chunk of the show, Des, I think you appreciate this. A lot of the time I get you laughing about it. My intent is to just throw everything off the rails completely. Josh comes in. He prepares unlike anyone I've ever seen in this industry for a sports radio show. It's like a web chart sort of thing that he draws out, and just believe it or not, every single segment, most words he says in a given program are planned, and that's the way Josh likes to prepare. That sort of thing. So he's got his segments that he likes to do, and I just come in like a wrecking ball. And a lot of the times, you know what I love doing to Josh? I love when he's clearly established the topic for a segment, and I just interject with something and try to get everyone on a tangent.
Yeah.
What was it yesterday? We were talking about something, and then Guitar Hero. And that led to me asking, what do you think of The Police? What's The Police's best song? Or something like that, you know? And just get everybody worked up, especially when there's a million people here, which isn't the case today. Just me and you, Des.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Given the idea that we are sharing for 3 hours today, we try with the segment that I do, again, normally come in with Josh, the usual host. What we try to do, and it hasn't been that successful, is like actually share things. I don't feel like I share enough with you guys in the triad who might listen to The David Glenn Show. I'm the producer of that show, so this is always an adventure jumping from one producing from noon to three and then hopping on this mic for 3 minutes. I sat down and asked Des, hey, how much time do you have? He's like, not really any.
Like 40 seconds.
40 seconds.
Go.
Cool. Let me open up my computer and gather my thoughts. So I apologize for this first segment. I never know what to do with it, but Sharon is a good start, right?
Yeah.
Des, correct me if I'm wrong on the number, 777-1600.
That is correct for the line here.
So if listeners want to ask me a question and have me share a little bit, you're welcome to do so as well, Des. That's the number that they can call, or they can tweet at Sports Hub Triad. I'm at Darren Vaught. It's a weird spelling, D-A-R-O-N-V-A-U-G-H-T, but you're certainly welcome to do that. I'm an open book today for 3 hours, as I hope that our guests will be. Brian Geisinger of accsports.com and the ACC Sports Journal is going to sit down in here with us for, I think, an hour. He got an advanced screening the other night at Full Frame Theater in Durham of The Class That Saved Coach K, which is going to be part of the ACC Network's launch tonight. It airs at 9 p.m. We actually just had the executive producer of that, John Dahl, on The David Glenn Show. Sounds like a really, really interesting film. I'm excited to see it. So BG is going to be with us. He, of course, is a very hoops-minded, analytics-minded guy. So some off-season basketball, but of course with the ACC Sports Journal's annual football preview magazine on shelves now. We'll talk some gridiron with him as well. Speaking of which, the ACC Network both and college football. Roddy Jones, former Georgia Tech running back and team captain, is going to join us a little bit later this hour to talk football, the launch of the network. It's a big day for guys like him. Some of the inaugural crew that is part of the ACC network as that thing gets started today. It's a Panthers preseason Thursday as they are at Gillette Stadium and look to play the New England Patriots tonight. So we'll talk about that a little bit as well. I'm excited. Dez, do you have let's get the Sharon started. Is there something that you would like to ask me just maybe personal, maybe philosophical? I feel like we don't get enough of this.
Yeah, well, for starters, I wanted to echo, I agree entirely with you with how you open in terms of Josh Graham is probably the most meticulous planner I've ever been around when it comes to putting together a radio show. Like, everything you hear in the 3 hours that he's in front of the steering wheel, he's planned out exactly what he's going to say from 9 that morning on until we get on the air. So that's why the show, you know, sounds how it is. You know, if he doesn't mind having the chaos, it's just he wants to be behind the steering wheel when we go off the rails over the cliff.
He's so, like any of us. He's like any of it. He just wants control. Yeah. It's okay if things go wrong, but, you know.
Every once in a while, I convince him just to let go of the wheel. Just let go of the wheel. Let's see what happens. And usually that's radio gold segments when we do something along those lines. But he needed some rest, just like I did. Busy season's about to start here.
Yeah, you've been out for the week up until today, too. So, no, good, much deserved vacation. What I try to do, the proper analogy, I'm going to carry his steering wheel analogy. I just plop down in the passenger seat. Maybe he's my Uber, and that's like a maybe not okay thing to do, but I just jump right in, and I grab the wheel and yank it to the right or the left in either direction. That's what I do when I come in here. So I am your driver today. Dez, what would you like for me to share as we get things started?
I think I already know what your favorite sport is. I would imagine it's baseball, because I know you do a lot of extra baseball stuff outside of your producer duties.
Yeah, I would say that's correct. I work a lot with USA Baseball as the voice of USA Baseball. I actually recorded a podcast. I host the official podcast of USA Baseball covering the bases. Check it out. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play,
nice.
Wherever you might find those sorts of things. I recorded an interview earlier this morning, so that's, of course, something that I do. A lot of baseball for ESPN3 and the ACC Network Extra. And I played baseball in undergrad, so that's for sure number one without a doubt. So that's not a lot of sharing there. I think most people knew that, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, my question is going to be, what is your second favorite sport with football and basketball? I know you're in Raleigh, so hockey's probably out there. What's your second favorite sport to talk about or cover?
Hockey is a new one for me. I didn't really grow up with it. So growing up in the mountains of Southwest Virginia, I was near Virginia Tech, so I obviously was a college football fan, grew up for a lot of that period being specifically a Hokies fan. I played basketball, played golf. Basketball probably is the correct answer to that. I don't know why I ever played golf or why I still do, because I hate it. So, basketball. We'll go with basketball there. And I'm very much looking forward to having Brian Geisinger in here, because he's a smart basketball guy. And I find that I often enjoy conversations with people who are way into basketball. So that's probably the biggest indicator, right?
Yeah, I think that covers pretty much my question. So, yeah.
All right. Well, if you would like for me to share anything, dial Dez up, 777-1600. That's the number for the extent of this 3 hours of radio. I did mention, Dez, that it is a Panthers preseason Thursday, it's not even a thing. A Panthers preseason Thursday is not even a thing, but it's Thursday, and the Panthers are playing a preseason game. They happen to be playing the New England Patriots. I know many of you hate the New England Patriots. What if you had to guess, Dez, would be on my list of, you know, five things Darren is watching for in tonight's preseason week 3 game for the Carolina Panthers? Do you have any guesses as to what might be on that list?
Well, it seems like the Panthers are getting shortchanged by national media, because no one has seen Cam Newton throw a ball past 20 yards except for those of us in the know and the beat writers and reporters that we talk to on a daily from the David Glenn Show to the Drive, who have pretty much all assured us that they have seen Cam uncorking these passes in camp and that none of them seem concerned whatsoever. But I guess the first national question will be, is Cam Newton's shoulder okay?
Cam Newton's shoulder okay?
Yeah.
I think yes.
I think so,
right?
Too.
Yeah. I think we've been given no reason to believe that it isn't, so that's a good thing. As you move on to maybe your second inclination, what would that be?
There's a lot of starters, like key skill position players, that have not played a single snap for the Panthers. Luke Kuechly hasn't played. Shaq Thompson hasn't played. Christian McCaffrey hasn't played. Greg Olsen. So my second one will be seeing the full first string offense and defense units out there against the Patriots, who, I mean, let's be real, I hate the Patriots too, but they're the gold standard. I mean, they've been to the Super Bowl the past 3 years. Just seeing what they're going to look like against a Bill Belichick scheme, that'll make me feel a little better about, you know, where we are and give us a better indication, because we all know we're not going to see anybody next week, week four, when they come back here for, was it Pittsburgh, I believe? So no one's going to be out there except for the guys who are going to get cut 3 days later, pretty much.
All right, here's how listeners will be able to tell that I've done this before, hosted a radio show, albeit in place of Josh Graham. I'm Darren Vaught. This is The Drive. Here's a tease. And if you don't know what a tease is, it's meant to keep you around through the commercial break to hear what I have to say on the other side, all right? My five things I'm looking for in the Panthers preseason game tonight. You do not want to miss this. On the other side, no, I'm kidding. I'll tell you them right now. 1, Cam. 2, doesn't. 3, get. 4, hurt. 5, preseason doesn't interest me. It's dumb. Instead, on the other side, I am quite possibly going to slander the pet of Joshua Graham. That's next on The Drive.
And now,
oh God,
the show,
a joke,
and foreign as hell,
with the host,
this guy,
oh, not this guy.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham, the sports hub, at AM 600, AM 920.
Word up, Dez. Darren Vaught in for Josh Graham. This is The Drive. Happy to have you with us. I'm Sharon, by the way. That's the normal segment we do, Sharon with Darren. You get 3 hours of it, so I don't care. Get personal. 777-1600. Leave a submission with Dez while we have guests on, or wait to get on yourself. I'm an open book today. As I hope is the case with our next guest on ACC Network Launch Day. ACC Network college football analyst and former Georgia Tech star Roddy Jones joins the program. Roddy, happy launch day, my man. What are your feelings?
Darren, first off, thanks for having me on. It's an awesome day. It's awesome, you know, from the day we started talking about me being a part of the network and. You know, before it was announced, I knew for a couple of weeks that it was going to happen. And just seeing the names roll out of people who are going to be involved in it, people that I've respected for a long time, and then, you know, kind of seeing the development over the course of the summer, it's pretty cool. It's really cool to see for it to be here and ready to flip the switch. And luckily, I don't have to be a part of anything live tonight, so I get to sit back and watch just like everybody else and cheer on my teammates who are doing the live stuff and the heavy lifting. So it's awesome, man. It's a great feeling.
Well, the network gets started at 7 p.m. tonight. That starts with, I believe, the program is called ACC Today, or it's sort of the in-studio show that they're going to have on a regular basis, but they introduce you to all of that crew, our guys that are going to be in the studio there. Then following that is the 30 for 30, the class that saved Coach K, which I'm very interested to see. That starts at 9 p.m. But, Roddy, we played audio of Mike Leach, and I'm not sure if you have seen this or heard about this yet. Before we hit the break, Mike Leach took to Twitter a couple of nights ago and just unprovoked came to the defense of cats. He says he can't understand why someone would hate cats. It's just like it's just a cat, man. You can't have too big of a problem with it. He's indifferent. I wonder. I know you have kids now. Are you a pet person? Do you have pets?
I do. Yeah, we've got two dogs. So I do not have cats.
Okay.
The one thing I'll say about cats over my experience is that cats are mean, man. Like dogs can get a little testy if you bother them, but you just never know what a cat's thinking. You can't trust a cat. You just can't. Like, they're sneaky and they're mean, and they just end up places where, like, they're just there to jump out and scare you. They end up in your closet. I've met some cool cats. No pun intended. I've met some cool cats in my day, but like, even a cool cat, you're always on the verge of getting scratched by. So I'm a little leery of cats when I see them, because I don't really trust them. A dog you can trust. Just know he just wants his belly rubbed. He wants to, you know, a dog just wants to be your friend the majority of the time. And if something's up, like, a dog's going to let you know. A cat, like, I don't know what a cat wants. I think a cat just wants me dead and wants to kill me and eat my body. That's what I feel like.
They're creepy. I knew I was dealing with a reasonable person. Thank you, Roddy Jones, for coming to the defense of dogs. Hate is a strong word, but I don't understand how someone could prefer a cat to a dog. Secondarily, out of this quote from Mike Leach, is the fact that we get the college football season started this weekend. Saturday is Miami and Florida in a big rivalry game. It's kind of a cool season opener. Yet Mike Leach is, again, unprovoked, going to Twitter with stuff like this. Is there any other coach in the country that would be that could have dropped that sort of tweet days from a team's first game?
You know, Lane Kiffin is always a guy that you never really know what he's going to do on Twitter.
Yeah.
So Lane Kiffin's the only other guy that I could think of that would drop something just totally off the cuff during game week because it was on his mind, on Twitter especially. Now, there's a couple more that in the press conferences you may get something like Mike Gundy's always good for a soundbite this time of year.
Yeah.
At a press conference, but there's no way Mike Gundy's going anywhere near Twitter. Like, that dude doesn't even know how to tweet. and so there are a few others. You know, Jimbo Fisher will sometimes give you something. Nick Saban, this is the time of year where he gets a little testy and he may give you something at a press conference, but again, usually those guys' Twitters are pretty buttoned up. Twitter accounts are pretty buttoned up. So I think Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach would have been my two leaders in the clubhouse in college football to just go on something off the cuff.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. They might be the only two that would deliver something like that Mike Leach did, going to Twitter unprovoked to defend cats and against people that hate cats. Well, let's talk some football. Roddy Jones of the ACC Network is with us. You came out of the Georgia Tech program. They no longer have Paul Johnson at the helm, presumably are going to move to another offense from that triple option under Jeff Collins. I don't think we can assume it might be pretty early, but what are your long-term impressions of what Jeff Collins is building there and them moving on from this triple option, which you played in and presumably love?
You know, I've got some affection for the triple option. Look, I in my class, we were, I was the last class of Chan Gailey. So I committed to play for Coach Gailey. I was recruited by Coach Gailey, and I loved what Coach Gailey stood for as a man and what his coaching staff stood for. And it was a transition when we had to go from a very pro style system. And I don't mean that in today's pro style. I mean, traditional pro style, you know, with a tight end, under center, a fullback, a lot of traditional principles from a pro style system to a triple option where things in large part were based on trying to get numbers on the perimeter or trying to isolate defenders and take advantage of things there. Coach Johnson had the most successful 11-year stretch in Georgia Tech history, and that includes, or at least since Bobby Dodd, and that includes the Bobby Ross years. When he won a national championship in 1990, he leaves soon after that, and Georgia Tech kind of goes into the tank. So The stretch that he had, the stretch of success, where he, you know, he had two double-digit win seasons, won 9 games 3 times. You know, it was incredibly successful. But a lot of Georgia Tech fans were while fans of the success, were a little ready to move on. And I think Coach Johnson was ready for a new challenge as well. So it was a great time for him to step away, and it's a great time for Jeff Collins to be coming in. This is a guy who has completely embraced what it means to be a head coach at a program in 2019. He has embraced social media. He's done a great job of engaging the fan base. He's done a great job of helping to brand the program as Atlanta's football team. And as we all know, the kids nowadays, which are recruits nowadays, live on social media. A lot of how they perceive your school is not what happens on Saturdays. A lot of it is how they perceive it from social media, with Saturdays and wins and losses almost being secondary. If you can sell a dream on social media, then these guys will buy it. And at Georgia Tech, it is legitimate. You know, you have the opportunity to play at a place in a major city, the biggest city in the conference, the hub of the Southeast, really a hub of college football, having hosted all the different major events in college sports and a Super Bowl. So it's a great city, and Jeff Collins has really tapped into it. He's taken the guys to an Atlanta United game, a Braves game, a Falcons preseason game. He's taken them to Six Flags Whitewater, which is a big water park down here, all during camp, because you're allowed to take guys within a 30-mile radius. And if you go 30 miles from Georgia Tech's campus, that gives you access to the entire city of Atlanta and all the things it has to offer. So I think Tech fans are really excited about that part of it, because the recruits will come. I mean, this is one of the best cities in the country, where I live here in Atlanta, in producing recruits. So if you can convince those guys to stay home and go to Georgia Tech, then I think the long-term prognosis is very good. It's very exciting. Now, short-term, they're going to struggle this year, and that's okay. But I think Jeff Collins has done a great job early in his tenure.
Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. I kept you too long talking about cats versus dogs, but again, I appreciate your sentiments on that matter. I do need to go to a break, so again, happy launch day, and thanks so much for the time on The Drive here.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Just one final thing. For anybody whose cable provider is not yet covering or carrying the ACC Network, it's a great time to try one of these cord-cutting options. They give you 7-day free trial. So I am advocating for you to go out, get your 7-day free trial to catch the programming at night. You kind of get a sneak peek of all the different shows in that 7 p.m. hour. Also, the first 10 minutes of that are going to be showed across all the ESPN networks. So appreciate you having me on, Darren, man. It's always great to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely, and more than welcome to incorporate the plug. That's Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. As he mentioned, if you do not currently have a cable provider or otherwise that gives you access to the ACC Network, a lot of those places have free trials. I believe YouTube TV is one of those that has that, so you can check those out and get the preview, at least for a week or so, of the ACC Network. On the other side, Joe Weil, the play-by-play voice of the Winston-Salem Dash, joins us. You're listening to The Drive.
This is The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920.
Serious talk. Talk, talk, talk.
And I like it.
Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Welcome back in. Darren Vaught in for Josh today on this afternoon edition of The Drive. Appreciate Roddy Jones of the ACC Network popping in to defend dogs in the ever-important dogs versus cat debate, mainly. Then he talked a little bit of college football with us. Happy launch day to him as the ACC Network gets kicked off a little bit later this evening. Joining us now, the voice of the Winston-Salem Dash, Joe Weil, as he usually does. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Darren. How you doing?
I am excellent. I've got, before we get into some movie quotes for you to incorporate into your broadcasts, I got to check in on a couple of my guys. You know I work with USA Baseball and do play-by-play for their collegiate national team, so I've got a couple of guys dear to my heart in Winston-Salem, at least the latest that I saw they were there. Andrew Vaughn and Steele Walker, both still in town or no?
Those guys are still in town, and actually from that same team, we still have Connor Pilkington as well. And
yep.
Earlier this year, I'm sure you remember, we had Nick Madrigal. So it was pretty cool that all those guys have had a chance to stop here, and it's been a thrill to have each one of those players, all good people, and obviously pretty good at baseball too.
Well, the game that I went to with Josh Graham included Steel Walker in the lineup. He might be my favorite collegiate national team guy ever because it's just the best baseball name ever. He's a great dude. Well, it happened. I was shocked to see him in the lineup. I hadn't been paying that much attention. So I was delighted when I saw that he was in the lineup. And it turned out that night, the Dash got the win. He hit a couple of doubles, I believe, was the player of the game whom you interviewed afterward. And it was his birthday. Like, he turned 23 or something like that on that day. So I guess they're all doing pretty well.
They're all doing really well. And actually, Steele today was just named a year-end Carolina League All-Star. So not only was he playing well for us and we noticed it, everybody around the league noticed it as well. He is definitely the cream of the crop prospect in this league this year. And I'm sure you got this sense when you covered him for the collegiate national team, but he's just so much fun to watch because he is sort of the antithesis to the old time baseball, you know, put your head down and play the game the right way. Steele plays the game the right way, but he has a lot of fun with it. He's more of that Tim Anderson mold, and he actually really appreciates what Tim Anderson is doing with the White Sox and for Major League Baseball, trying to add a little bit of flair to it, because Steele certainly has that from a personality side, and in that showcase on the field, you'll see him skip around first base if he hits a home run, and you'll see him go out in center field and make it look easy out there, and it's just kind of part of his game, just to have fun with the game and really enjoy it as if he was a kid. And it's made it really enjoyable to watch him and see him play and see that joy being exuded on the field, because I still think that baseball needs more people like that, and Steele is a guy, if he gets to Chicago, the fans are really going to enjoy his style of play because it's a lot of fun to watch.
It is. He plays with a big chip on his shoulder, a lot of edge to his style of play, so I encourage people in the Triad, of course, go check out the Winston-Salem Dash while Steele Walker is in town, no doubt about it. All right, so Joe, I haven't left a ton of time. I'm filling in for Josh, so I'm admittedly terrible at this clock management stuff. What we normally do is give you movie quotes, and I admire and respect your ability to weave them seamlessly into the flow of your broadcasts there for the Dash. Dez, do you have one of the examples that we played prior to the break, just so we can get everybody on the same page with what we're doing here?
Still a ton of fans here tonight all around the lower bowl and hanging out in their seats or heading off to the Clark and Addison Grill or some of the other great places you can eat here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at TicketReturn.com field. The 2-1. Outside, count it 3-1. A couple of days ago, I had a chance to eat a burger from this facility. And that is a tasty burger. The 3-1.
The 3-1. I love that one. God, that one's so good, Joe. all right, so we normally give you movie lines. You sent me 9 lines earlier today. They're all short, but Drago in Rocky IV, it only has 9 lines in the entire film. What were you saying you wanted me to do with these? Because they are, quote, "You will lose. I cannot be defeated. I defeat all men. Soon I defeat real champion. If he dies, he dies. I must break you," maybe the best. "He's not a human. He's like a piece of iron. I fight to win for me, and until the end." What were your plans with those 9 lines?
So CJ Johnson, our team president, he actually was in his car a couple months ago. I don't know if he knew that I was doing this with Josh, and he was listening into the Sports Hub Triad and the Drive and Josh's show. He heard my lines, and he said, "That's so funny that you do that. I love to get involved." So he pitched these lines. I think he wanted to just get one of them in. So if you want to pick one, you can. I can pick one. I can tell you which one's my favorite. I think it's the "He's not a human. He's like a piece of iron" is the one that stood out to me.
I like that one.
Yeah. No, then by all means, we're going to use that one. I don't see a ton of audience participation on this today, so I think we'll use that in place of what we've gotten from listeners. "He's not a human. He's like a piece of iron." That's your first. Dez, what do you have for Joe for this week? We'll give you a total of three.
So I'm going back to the old standby, which is 2007 Superbad, because there's so many lines in there that I think that you could use. And I think we've only gotten you to do like one or two of them out of that movie for the entire season. And I'm trying to figure out one that you can say without getting fired or arrested for saying it on the air.
No, but push the envelope, Dez. We're going to challenge Joe.
I'm looking for like do you have one right now that you're wanting to give him? Because I'm still kind of scrolling through.
Yeah, I've got one. I'm leaning back on I do a lot of TV shows, I find, with this segment. So they're not movies, but it's pop culture references. I think I've given you Michael Scott like two or three times from The Office already, Joe. We're going to go with, and you can feel free to editorialize to lead into this, but there's such a thing as good grief, just ask Charlie Brown. And it's part of a longer description where he's saying that grief isn't always bad. But the quote is, there's such a thing as good grief, just ask Charlie Brown.
What? Say that one more time?
You said there's such a thing as good grief, just ask Charlie Brown.
Good grief.
Don't I get a dinger for that, Dez? Come on.
Yeah, I'll give it.
Got to give it up for that one.
All right, that's two of your three. Two of your three, Joe. Dez, what do you have for Joe Weil to work into his broadcast?
All right, so I left Superbad because there's nothing in there that you can say at this point that wouldn't probably get you fired or in trouble with the FCC. So I decided to leave that alone and to go off towards something else. I want to kind of cut you a little bit of a break and give you something that's short. And on paper it sounds easy, but it might be hard to stick it to a game. I want you to do the Matthew McConaughey, Dazed and Confused, All Right, All Right, All Right.
Yes, I'm absolutely in favor. But give us your best McConaughey when you do that, all right, Joe?
I will. All right, all right, all right.
There you go. There it is.
That's it.
Yeah,
man. I like it. All right, Joe, those are your quotes. Man, what a motley crew. Drago from Rocky IV, Michael Scott, and Matthew McConaughey. Channel all three of them in your next call, Joe. We look forward to hearing it.
All right, thanks, Derek. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Joe Weil, play-by-play voice of the Winston-Salem Dash. And, man, that's about as... Dez, how would you like to play in a golf foursome? I'm giving you a golf hypothetical while saying also earlier that I hate golf. Right. I do still play. But how, man.
I think everybody that plays golf hates it.
Or just go get a beer with, it's a fictional character in the case of Drago, but Michael Scott, also a fictional character, but maybe you could get Steve Carell to show up in his stead and play the character. You could do that. And then McConaughey, I mean, he's one of the most interesting dudes around. He's turned it around. He used to be chick flick exclusive guy, romantic comedy is my preferred terminology, exclusive guy, and has done some really complicated roles since then. He would be a riot to talk to for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. McConaughey would be great to go out with and just have a fun Friday night.
You are listening to Sports Hub Triad, 93.7 in Greensboro, 101.5 in Winston-Salem, 104.9 in High Point, and 104.5 in Burlington.
This is The Sports Hub at AM 600, AM 920. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
Silly voice lady. What an idiot. I'm not Josh Graham. Darren Vaught happily filling in JG's stead. JG, do people call him that? It's the first time I've ever done it. I don't like it.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if that
it doesn't flow.
Yeah.
It doesn't flow. All right, well, if you recognize my voice, it's probably because you have listened to this very station between noon and 3, and David Glenn, host of the David Glenn Show, took a couple seconds to catch his breath at some point, and so I got a word or two in. That's probably what happened. I regularly produce that program, occasionally hop on here in Josh's place, and once per week, share with him, as we call it, sharing with Darren. That's still on the table, by the way. I'll get personal, philosophical. Hit Dez up with a question, 777-1600. That one can be saved for later, as now in studio. I have Brian Geisinger, my guy BG. See, it works with his name, BG, and I've called him that many, many times, of the ACC Sports Journal and accsports.com, Sports Channel 8, which just rolled out last week.
Yep.
Their very own weekday show.
Made it a week.
In the Triangle, 10 to noon. If you're ever in that part of the state, 99.9 The Fan, they precede the David Glenn Show. So it's cool to have you guys as new neighbors in that part of the David Glenn Show's listening audience.
Very fun.
Cool to have you here, sitting down to talk a little off-season hoops. I know we've got a couple of things that we want to get to a little bit later, ACC football and otherwise, but tonight is the launch of the ACC Network. Network kicks off at 7, and then at 9 p.m. is the ESPN production of the 30 for 30, the class that saved Coach K. And actually, we had on with DG earlier, John Dahl, who is the executive producer, the main filmmaker that worked on it, aside Jay Billis, who contributed in a lot of ways past his on-air or on-screen contributions, answering questions and things like that. And I was fascinated by some of the things he said about just how it's funny now in 2019 to look back at it and think that Coach K needed saving, right? You got the advanced screening experience at Full Frame Theater in Durham. What were your impressions without maybe without giving too much away, but quite frankly, I'm interested in whatever you have to say about it.
Yeah, well, first off, if you ever get a chance to see a film over at Full Frame in Durham, go do it. Pretty cool experience in the middle of American Tobacco campus there. Just a neat setting to see the film.
I actually saw, you know, the documentary on the former New Orleans Saint with ALS, Steve Gleason. They did a documentary on him just entitled Gleason.
Right.
And it was one of the Full Frame Festival films.
Just a cool.
And I saw that there. Really cool experience, because that whole festival is really, really awesome.
It's awesome. And it's in a neat setting in what is a cool city in downtown Durham. I really enjoyed the film. I mean, I didn't think the documentary was necessarily anything groundbreaking. I mean, this is a story that's 4 decades old now, right? Spoiler alert, the class does in fact save Coach K, and he goes on to have large amounts of success. But, you know, I thought they took a pretty sort of like, they took this sort of linear path through it's the class of 86, as probably a lot of listeners know, but it's sort of looking as, you know, Johnny Dawkins, Jay Billis, Mark Allery, as they are in their senior year of high school, going into their freshman year at Duke, all the lows that come, you know, a losing record, they get thrashed by UNC, they get destroyed by Michael Jordan, they get pummeled in the ACC tournament. It's funny to see highlights of Wake Forest running up and down and by Duke in an actual basketball game. It's been a while since I had seen that.
Winston-Salem product.
And this is cool, too, because, you know, this stuff, as much as I love the ACC and I grew up, you know, going to Wake Forest basketball games and football games and now covering the league, this is stuff that predates me. It's before I was born. And I've heard it comes from, it's in a time period which is around when my family first moved to Winston-Salem. So older people in my family have memories and they've told me about this, but it was pretty neat to go beyond the, you know, reading an excerpt in a book or a magazine or hearing a secondhand story and to actually see the footage, see the film, see the pictures, you know, see the clips of the old newspaper columns, you know, calling for Coach K's head on a platter or whatever. And I thought it was really neat. I thought there were good bits of humor in it, as one would expect with K and Billis. I mean, you're gonna have some self-deprecation in there, which I'm a fan of, so I like that too. And while it does primarily center on the class of 86 at Duke, it does also loop in players that came into play with them as well, younger players. So Tommy Amaker, Quinn Snyder, and you're seeing all these amazing basketball minds 30 years later getting to sit around a table with some wine and some food and share stories and rap. And it's just, A, to watch them reminisce is cool, but also B, it's just impressive to see, like, dude, Quinn Snyder is one of the 5 best basketball coaches in the world right now. And there he is with Tommy Amaker, who's the head coach at Harvard. And there's Coach K there. And obviously Jay Billis is a great basketball mind, too. And so even that, you know, you wish you could see all the footage of them hanging out and talking hoops and stuff like that. But well worth it. It got me in the mood for basketball season. Like, I'm ready to go now, and definitely give it a glance if you have the chance.
I'm excited to watch it. I begrudgingly did not get an invite to the advanced screening, and I'm still trying to chase down whoever's responsible for that.
That's
but anyways,
unfortunate.
When we had the
I know of at least one unused ticket too that you could have used.
Man, BG,
sorry about
breaking
that.
My heart.
Yeah.
So John Dahl, who was I mentioned the one of the main filmmakers on it, has worked on a lot of other ESPN productions, including the Academy Award winning OJ Made in America, and he talked with DG a little bit earlier today about Jay Billis's role and his contributions, because other than the on-screen interactions, Billis played a major part in contributing. He talked about letters that Coach K had sent him while he was being recruited, and just the idea that because Billis is a West Coast guy, and in a world where Mike Krzyzewski isn't Team USA's basketball coach, isn't a multi-time national champion, he isn't Coach K, he's Mike Krzyzewski, what good reason does a Jay Billis out in California have to know who he is? So that's a part of the story that really intrigued me, especially as you and I and others incorporated with the David Glenn Show and here at The Drive have gotten to know Jay and his love and passion for his time at Duke on that basketball program.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole, for better or for worse, recruiting is totally different now than it was back then. I mean, the game is the game, right? You know, it's the same. You know, you're looking for the good players, and you're
right,
doing what it takes to land
the ball in the hoop. Yeah,
but you know, again, the game is the game, but you're thinking you couldn't, you know, you and I can go on YouTube and queue up any prospects highlights we want. The games are broadcast on national TV, ESPN now. I mean, you've got a million different websites dedicated to covering this stuff, including the ACC Sports Journal as well. This was just a different time. And it's funny to see Coach K sending letters and, you know, telegrams and stuff like that. You're at a certain point, you're having this sort of, you're sort of having to take a leap of faith with both coach to player and player to coach. And there's even a sort of a, I won't spoil it, but there's a funny anecdote that Billis tells about meeting Johnny Dawkins for the first time. He'd never seen Johnny Dawkins before. He just knows this guy's, you know, one of the best guards in the class. He's going to be my teammate. And when he's in the D.C. area, he goes to his house to meet him, and when Dawkins answers the door, he's basically surprised with the appearance of Johnny Dawkins. I think he was expecting someone more striking, perhaps. Do you know what I mean? Bigger.
He's kind of a lanky guy.
He's like, yeah, where's your brother? You know, he thought. but, you know, before Zion Williamson and R.J. Barrett showed up at Duke this past year, just for example, or Cam Reddish and Zion Williamson, like, how many times have those guys
played together, been on
international teams, Nike EYBL teams, played against one another, been at camps, all that sort of stuff. And yeah, like, it that was not the case 35 years ago.
It's funny, the Johnny Dawkins bit, because, I mean, how easy is it to have an image just emblazoned into your mind now just because of scrolling through Twitter? You know, something as simple as someone's Twitter avatar photo, that's your impression of them in a lot of ways, especially if you've never met them in person.
Yep.
Like, there was no equivalent to that with Johnny Dawkins back then. So you had no reason to know what he looked like. And even if you had only watched him play from afar, it's a different movement. You're not standing face to face with him. It could easily be mistaken.
And there's just a quick note to this as well. Like, you know, it is interesting because Billis ended up playing for K, and then he became an assistant. So this is a guy that helped on the recruiting trail with Coach K when he's working for him as he's in law school and as a graduate assistant or whatever. But Billis was also, again, I don't know the exact timeline of when guys committed, and I don't know the sequential order with that. But the way the documentary presents it is that Mark Allery, Jay Billis helped recruit him, and then Dawkins came after that as well. And you can see even before these guys got to Durham that while the way these relationships were formed were totally different and far more limited back then, that Billis even as an 18-year senior in high school, was sort of was a de facto recruiter for Kay, helping sort of solidify and form the class.
It reminds me the just the copious amount of letters that you would have to write as a college basketball coach at that time.
Yeah.
It had to be cumbersome. And it reminds me of, if you go to the Dean Smith Center, there's the North Carolina Basketball Museum portion
it's really cool.
The facility there. It's really cool.
Duke has one of these at Cameron, too.
Yeah. And so in Carolina's version.
NC State has one at Reynolds now.
Yeah.
Coliseum, too.
Absolutely. So they're all really cool. And if you're around the Triangle area, certainly go check them out. At UNC, there is a letter that's posted up, and it's from Coach K to Michael Jordan, when I think it's following Jordan informing Krzyzewski that he was going to commit to Carolina. He was going to go play at North Carolina. And it's just a cool thing because it's not a necessary letter. And you think about all the work that there goes into correspondence back then, and Krzyzewski still took the time to write a note just to say, all right, that's fine, best of luck.
Yeah,
you're a really good player.
The Kay even mentions this in with regards to one of the letters he writes to Billis, too. Like, these weren't boilerplate. Like, these were my own thoughts, and, you know, I typed them out. And this wasn't – now, I'm sure to some extent you got to have – there's no way everything could be its own unique, you know, letter or whatever.
Sure.
But Kay does make – does make a mention of that. And actually, there's even like a pretty interesting, again, I won't spoil too much here, but those guys are coming in the fall of 82, the class of 86, that is. And they go over to Wolin Gym on UNC's campus, because that's where I'm sure a lot of people, you know, just now undergrads play pickup there. But at the time, like, this is where local college players would also go to play pickup. And so Jordan, Sam Perkins are in there. You know, this is obviously a sort of somewhat of a golden era of UNC basketball, as they're fresh off a national title. And the Duke freshmen are there watching the UNC guys sort of in between games. And Billis tells a story, or maybe it's Mark Allery, of Jordan going up during a stoppage and to dunk the basketball and also hitting his head on the side of the backboard as he went to do it. And Billis and Allery sort of looking at one another thinking like, oh, wow, what did we sign up for here? Now we've got to compete against guys like this. And, I mean, my head immediately went to covering a Duke game this year at Cameron. He was playing defense in a game, but I literally saw Zion Williamson hit his head on the backboard trying to block a shot against Princeton. So, again, the game is the game. Players are different, but you know, in the methods which they connect and interact are different too. But it's interesting to see how some of the stuff has, you know, there are still transcendent players, you know what I mean, now as there were then too.
He's Brian Geisinger of the ACC Sports Journal and accsports.com, as well as Sports Channel 8. He's hanging out for an extensive period during this edition of The Drive. I'm Darren Vaught, filling in for Josh Graham. On the other side, we're going to talk a little more hoops with BG. That's next. By my very exact clock, it's 5 o'clock and 18 seconds, 19 seconds, 20. That means it's time for the five things at 5, right?
5.
Oh, whoops. Hold on. Sorry. I've been gone for a couple
days. I was just going to go with it. Thought there was more than that.
There's supposed to be a little bit more to that there.
Thanks, lady, with a weird echo for reinforcing what time it is.
It's time for the five things at 5.
All right, people, take 5.
Here are the top 5 stories trending now.
All right, what do I start here? Number 1 or number 5?
Well, you're supposed to start at number 5, and I'm having to do a little moving around to make sure I can get you to the right number. All right. And
should I just read 5?
No, I got you. Away we go.
5.
That's what I like to hear. All right, not to complicate your life anymore, Des, but we've got some audio associated with this one. Former NBA player Royce White says NBA teams are blackballing superstar Carmelo Anthony. This is the guy that, once a member of the Houston Rockets, really had to cut his career short because he was deathly afraid of getting on an airplane, and it just wasn't going to work out. He's been most recently seen playing in Ice Cube's Big 3 league.
Yeah.
So, You got Royce White for us?
Melo's absolutely being blackballed. He's one of the realest in it. He's one of those dudes that, you know, he ain't like me. He don't talk like brash and straightforward like that, but he has those morals and principles, you know? And he's given too much to the game for them not to allow him to play, or for them to, you know, kind of culturally just make a decision or an agreement that he's not good enough anymore. All of us here that play the game at the highest level know how good Melo is, and we know that there's no way that the Lakers would go out and sign Jared Dudley and not sign Carmelo Anthony. And another question is, while a guy like LeBron is walking around here like he's the face and voice of the players, how is he letting his banana boat brother hang out there in the wings and they go sign Jared Dudley and not Carmelo? If anybody watching this thinks that Jared Dudley can hold Carmelo's jockstrap, I'll slap him.
The disrespect to
Jared Dudley. Jeez. Why are you going to come at my guy Jared Dudley like that?
What did he do? Oh, my God.
Jared Dudley's a good basketball player.
That's right.
By the way,
that's what I'm saying.
He's like a perfect fit around LeBron because he can guard a couple positions and shoot threes. At the end of the day, this isn't like maybe Carmelo can beat Jared Dudley one on one. The thing is, if that's the case, that's not the point. Like, you
there
don't
are
need
so
the,
many other
you
variables.
You don't need this guy to win a one on one matchup. You need him to stand in the corner and make wide open threes, which Jared Dudley, yes, does better than Carmelo Anthony. And like I like Carmelo. He seems to be a pretty good guy and someone that does a lot for the community. He's from Baltimore. He certainly gives back. He seems to be a pretty hands-on dad. Like, all that stuff is great. But like, let's also remember Media Day 2 years ago with Oklahoma City Thunder, when some intrepid reporter asked him if he would be open to coming off the bench, and he literally just scoffed and started openly laughing. So it's not like this guy's been exactly receptive to a role that didn't include, hey, I'm starting and I get to post a 25% usage rate or whatever, too. I have to deal with Hornets fans asking me this on occasion, too. Like,
why have they not signed Carmelo?
Yeah, why haven't the Hornets signed Carmelo Anthony? And like, I have to say it, but like, this changed a couple years ago. Carmelo Anthony is just not, he just is not a winning NBA basketball player. There's no number out there that you can point to and say, this guy helps you win basketball games. It just doesn't happen. He gets played off the court defensively, and he's not an efficient offensive player. So, yeah, I mean, Jared Dudley is. He is both of those things. And that's why he is on this roster, granted at a minimum salary, and Carmelo Anthony is, you know, not in the NBA anymore. Go to China. Go score 60 points a game in China. Like, yeah, you can totally do that. It'd be awesome. I'd watch it. But, like, as far as winning basketball games, this guy doesn't do anything to move the needle in the right direction.
All right, Dez, what number are we on?
Four.
Four! You know where Carmelo, besides Syracuse, it's the only place he has won basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wearing USA across his chest.
That's right.
Kemba Walker, the star of Team USA.
Yep.
And the guys in the red, white, and blue, the good guys, defeated Australia this morning in front of a record crowd of 51,000.
It looked insane.
Plus.
In Melbourne, baby.
In Melbourne. It looked wild. They got to cheer on their heroes, Joe Ingles,
Andrew
Matthew
Bogut.
Dellavedova, who has like a signature shoe over there.
You've also got Aaron Baines, a couple NBA
Aaron
guys.
Aaron Baines,
no,
he's on that
Patty
roster.
Mills
Patty
too.
Mills, of course, a long embrace with Coach Popovich,
Coach Pop.
Greg Popovich,
pretty
the
cool.
Spurs coach, so they spent a long time together in San Antonio. Kemba Walker's the only dude on this Team USA roster with multiple All-Star appearances.
Yep.
How bad is it?
It's like, I mean, this team is still awesome, right? Like, that's the scale is.
That's just it.
This team is still amazing. They went in and they beat a good Australia. It's just an exhibition game. And we'll see how they play come tournament time. There are some real questions with this roster. But, like, what they lack in sort of, like, defined star power in terms of all NBA selections and all-star rosters. Yeah, Kemba's the only guy, but, like, Donovan Mitchell's a really good young player. So is Jason Tatum. I mean, Chris Middleton made an all-star roster this season. He's on the team. Brooke Lopez is, like, redefining the center position. Miles Turner's an all-NBA defensive-level center. Like, they have really, really good players. But, yeah, Kemba's the sort of the real one efficient, like, long-range shot creator that they have. And he did. He took 22 shots in this game. He scored 23 points. Kemba had it cooking. It looked like a Thursday night in Uptown Charlotte in February with Kemba taking 20 shots off the pick and roll.
Man, I am not impressed with this team. They are, to me, they are straight dumpster juice. Like, think of all the USA teams we've had since they allowed pros.
Yeah,
if they played comparatively.
If they played against this team, all of those teams would beat this team by 15 plus, even the 04 team. Like, it just, all of them, it just, I don't even want to watch them.
I think part of it is, and look, the time slots are not friendly, and they play again, I think, like Friday night at midnight, too. The time slots are not.
Not staying up for that.
They're not friendly, but a part of this, too, is it's like, this one generation of players that sort of like grew up with that grew along with Coach K being the coach and starting in 2005 and going into the 2006 World Cup. Like, those guys are old now, right? Like LeBron, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
Like, those dudes don't play, you know, they have to really like dial it back.
Yeah, they don't play more than they have.
So they can play 70 games next NBA season. Plus, the other thing, too, that you got to remember, even guys like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, they got hurt at the end of the season here. And then I'm sure you guys talked about this on the drive, Des. Like, think about how much money changed hands, how many players changed teams this offseason. Really, none of those guys who did that are playing on this roster, right?
Yeah,
guys
that
signed big deals or moved teams, like those guys, including Ben Simmons, who would have been on the Australian team but agreed to a big extension that won't kick in until the following season. But, like, a lot of those guys, Chris Middleton, granted, he signed a big deal and he's with Team USA, as did Brook Lopez, but like a lot of those guys, because two-fifths of the league changed teams, you know, just certain guys were essentially off-limits almost this year.
You put pen to paper and the risk becomes even greater at a time when not a lot of guys are looking to risk that anyway.
But I realize, like, I'm, like, in too deep with NBA hipsterness because I'm like, wow, Derek White should have played more than 2.5 minutes last night, and I'm guessing you guys don't care at all about Derek White of the San Antonio Spurs. But I thought he should have played more than 3 minutes last night.
I love it.
For this morning.
Dez, numero...
Three.
There we go.
Three. Trace, if... All right, see, if the voice lady was a sentient being... She would have said Trace because I said numero. Either way, we're talking more basketball with this headline. BG, did you see the street art in Indianapolis depicting Larry Bird covered in tattoos?
Amazing.
All right,
yes,
street artist
beautiful
Jules
art.
Muck, after receiving some indigestion, we'll call it, from Bird's party about the idea that he is a tattoo guy and doesn't want to be one, said she would remove all the tattoos from Larry Bird's mural in Fountain Square except for the script Indiana on his left forearm in accordance with the basketball legend's request. Quote, "This is another human being that is obviously not liking it," she told the Indy Star. "If he was happy and thought it was funny, that's a different story." Brian, I don't
shame on Larry Bird.
I don't get Larry Bird stifling someone's artistic freedom here.
Well, first off, nothing says street like Larry Bird. You know what I mean? I mean,
really,
when I think hard, I think street. I think Larry Legend. I think the Hick from French Lick. But no, like no, you should not. It's unfortunate that an artist is having to go back to their creation and change, you know, the workings of it. That this is something that you should just appreciate. It should stand alone and be cool. I'm not saying you've got to be honored by it. I know I would be if I were Larry Bird personally, but like as someone that loves art almost as much as I love basketball, like let it be, let it breathe. This should be cool and fun. We should just enjoy this. I can't believe this is a thing that's had to be altered or whatever.
I agree. Larry is such a ubiquitous icon in the state of Indiana. I think he should be used to this sort of thing and be honored by it. And it's also like, what if Jules Muck, the street artist, had depicted him, not with tattoos, but wearing like his cap askew and baggy pants or that? Would he have the same issue? Because worries me.
Yeah, there's some potentially problematic elements to this, right?
There are. I'm not happy that all of the tattoos are going to be removed. If I was him, though, the fornicating bunny rabbits on his right forearm, like, maybe. Yeah, I get it.
Hey,
I get it. All the other stuff, you got a cardinal on your face, you got a neck tat that says Hoosier across your throat.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's fine.
That is art. All I'm saying is just let it breathe.
I agree. Dez.
Two.
I have to say that because I don't have to say that. He could just hit the number, but I just am awful at the format of this show. What do I have for number two here? Oh, we talked about this earlier. Coach Ron Rivera of the Carolina Panthers has stated that Cam Newton will start at quarterback tonight in New England against the Patriots in their third preseason game. You know, this is the one where starters participate.
Oh,
but
boy.
Once Cam's done whatever they need to see him do, who knows what that is? Allen's going
to
come in.
Decade in, Cam Newton needs to prove himself in a preseason game, all right?
It blows my mind. BG, are you a lifelong Panthers fan?
Yeah, okay. Actually, yeah, I am. Yeah,
all right, I thought that was the case.
Yeah.
You still root for the team.
Yeah.
I know sometimes your responsibilities can kind of pull you away from tuning in for a lot of NFL. I'm the same way.
I still make time for most Panthers games.
Yeah. Kyle Allen, as a Panthers fan, I'm only sort of half of a fan. Like,
yeah.
I root for them because I produce a show that's statewide in North Carolina, and
yeah.
I root for the show. It's good for us when they win. Are you comfortable with Kyle Allen as your backup quarterback?
Who is that? No, the answer. I don't know who these. I don't know who any of these people are. I'm not happy with any of them. You got Taylor Heineken and Kyle Allen. Yeah, exactly. But like, who are these people? And Will Greer. I mean, maybe he ends up being good. No, I'm not comfortable with any of these guys. And once again, it's going to come down to a patchwork offensive line trying to protect. The undervalued and underappreciated Cameron Newton for the Panthers. Like, he's got to stay healthy here.
Des, I have no idea what number we're on, but I hear that the music is over. So I feel like I need to squeeze in two more things to complete our five things at five. Can you do these things for me, Des?
One.
Oh, you were at number one. So, yeah, you got one more.
Yeah.
Was I at one? All right, well,
yeah.
Just do me this. Play Mike Leach talking about cats, and then react to that as Doc Rivers. That can be number one.
Perfect.
You want the whole Mike Leach?
Play the whole Mike Leach. I want to hear him talking about cats, and I want to hear Doc Rivers' thoughts.
Prompted the tweet last night about cats.
Somebody, I can't remember, somebody said that in passing. You know, one of the, I hate cats, you know, somebody really hates cats. And I've never figured that one out. I mean, and a credit to cats, the ability to generate that much animosity, you know. And I'm not sure how close of a relationship some of these people are planning to have with a cat or why they would value the opinion of a cat or their perceived opinion of a cat. I'm indifferent about cats, but I've never understood how a cat can accelerate that much animosity. I mean, to me, it's just a cat. It's just a squirrel. It's just a dove. It's just a robin. I mean, what do I care, you know? So, anyway.
Doc, what do you think?
Hello? Hey! Hassan, my pager went off and said I needed to call, and I picked up the phone and no one was there, and all of a sudden you're there. I don't know. So, what's going on? How's it going?
Doc, I gotta know. This is Darren Vaught. I'm filling in for Josh Graham.
Oh, okay.
You're on the drive. on the Sports Hub Triad. BG is here as well. His name's Brian Geisinger. You can just call him BG. He's a cool cat. I get it.
BG, huh? Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Doc, do you like cats? Do you hate cats?
Well, I'll tell you like this. Everybody likes each other until things get tough. Then you'll find out what kind of team you have, Darren. That's the way to go. Hey, hold on a second.
Hey, Quar! What are you doing? Playing hopscotch or whatever? You're supposed to be playing defensive drills. Start this.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't get it. They came over here with defensive acumen, and they haven't played a lick of defense this entire time. They've been over there playing hopscotch. I've seen them playing dice in the corner. I don't get it. I don't understand it. These young guys, they're not Blake. I'll tell you that right now. They're not Blake. Because, like, with Blake, everyone would blame Blake for everything, and it's not all Blake. It's not just Blake. You can't blame him for everything.
Does Blake like cats?
Blake has five cats. He has five cats, and he has a albino tiger with like green eyes. He keeps it in the backyard, but he won't keep it in a cage. He just keeps it on a rope, so nobody ever wants to go over there. It's crazy. Might be why I got traded. I don't know. You got to ask Chris Paul or somebody. I don't know.
That's Desmond Johnson, but it's also Doc Rivers in a way.
It's glad that made my day.
I'm glad we could make that happen for you, BG. Yeah.
It's never Blake's fault, or it's not all. It's never all Blake's fault.
It's never Blake's fault. Yeah,
never Blake's fault.
Right. Write that down on a card and put it in your wallet so that during the day you can pull it out and realize that it's never Blake's fault. It's not his fault. Chris has got to step up. DeAndre's got to step up. That's why we brought you back.
Perfect.
I'm wondering, Dez, do you have like a just coached a game, Doc Rivers, that's just a hair raspier?
Guys, I'll tell you, I love the NBA playoffs. It's a great mental test for my team. You know, when it's real close, usually one team pulls together and the other team comes apart. Unfortunately, usually that team that comes apart is my team. Unless it's the Celtics. We never lost a series with all five of my guys. When I had all five of them, we didn't lose. Chris Paul, Kendrick Perkins, they look at Blake and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, what are you doing? So I don't know. I'm going to have to make him run laps or play some defense or something.
I have successfully taken this totally off the rails as fill-in host for Josh Graham. We missed a break, so we probably should go ahead and do that. Those were the five things. Those were the five at 5:17 p.m. Those were the five things at 5.
Yeah.
You're welcome, sports listening audience of the greater Triad area. I'm Darren Vaught, filling in for Josh Graham. My thanks, BG, for stopping in for
a
little over an hour. You held out an hour for the Doc Rivers impersonation.
Yep, well worth it.
We're going to hit a break and then try to finish up some sports radio for the day here on The Drive. I'm Darren Vaught, filling in for Josh Graham.
Uh-huh, 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 uh-huh.